Thank you for joining me, Estra, this Monday, December 8th, 2014, for Talking About You with Estra from Seattle, Washington, USA. This is your car accident radio channel, bringing knowledge and support about auto insurance, employers, short and long-term disability, personal injury claims, surveillance, print and electronic tools, and much, much more. The year ends just keep coming faster and faster. The key is, are you smarter than when the year started? Knowledge is an ingredient when dealing with a car collision. In fact, in my opinion, it's one of the most important ingredients. The more you know, the less chance of being taken advantage of through the insurance claim process by insurance companies, employers, Social Security disability, or a long-term disability company through ERISA. Today, let's take a look back on 2014 on some of the key ideas to keep you safe, wise, and up to the challenge. Today, our second episode in the 2014 Best of Talking About You with Estra for 2014 is dealing with auto insurance. And this is where it all begins, with a car accident. Knowledge regarding the policy's fine print along with your rights and the rights of an insurer goes a long way in determination of how your claim will proceed and more than likely the outcome. Place your questions and comments on Twitter hashtag Estra's Radio Show, on Talking About You with Estra, also on Facebook. You can call the show today at 718-766-4385 with your questions, comments, or experiences. I'm listening to what you have to say about your car accident journey. Remember, quote, this is very important, remember to sign the petition to increase policyholders' claim benefits and receive fair settlements. You can find the link at hashtag policyholderfairclaims. Be sure to visit Estra's official website for additional information. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening. Do not misjudge kindness by an insurance carrier as being on your side. Staying professional, and do not be taken by an insurance adjuster's attempt to portray a generous and fair stance, when perhaps this may or may not be the agenda they have in mind. Insurance employees are here to protect their employers' interests and investors, which of course use your premium dollars. And adjusters have been trained to get the most information out of you that promote their interests. For example, when working for a company, most people tend to look for opportunities to help their department and to do their best. Unfortunately, in my opinion, some do this at the expense of their clients, which may be the case with an auto insurance company, employer, or LTD, depending on the value of the accident claim, how claims are viewed by insurance company, needs and the desires of a particular adjuster's corporate goals, along with company's protocols in handling insured claims, the impact may be significant and can be either positive or negative. Therefore, pay attention to their actions. I need to say that again because it's very important. Pay attention to their actions. Now, here are a few things to look out for. So, do they do what they say? Have they started playing hardball from the beginning of your request? Notice them hunting for anything to deny your claim? Are you having to call insurance carrier often to get support? Waiting a long time for help. In my opinion, these are all clues about where this insurance carrier is going to take your insurance claim. And you'll get a feeling, oh, well, this is not working, or they're not trying to help me. If they're not trying to help you, then that means that they're going to fight you more than likely for this claim. So make sure that you're paying attention to the cues that they're sending you. Lip service will not help get the medical care or bills paid if no longer working. So pay attention to what they do more than what an auto insurance company says. Do what you can to help yourself while dealing with your concerns and your care. You are the most person in this equation. You're the most important person in this equation of an accident. So remember to always take care of yourself. Kindness is a tactic used to get insureds to open up and relax in hopes of getting them to say something harmful to the claim. And this is also very important, so I want to repeat this. Kindness is a tactic used to get insured, which that means people injured in a car accident, calling up and asking for help from an insurance company, to open up and relax in hopes of getting them to say something harmful to their claim. Their ultimate goal may be to convince you that claim value is much less than it is, and that their power and resources will defeat you. So do not try to get a fair shake, because they will beat you down. But is this true? Absolutely not. You always have a choice in where to take this claim. You don't actually have to play along with their bad faith behaviors. You can choose to fight, go on with your life, or share your experiences to help those who come after you. So those are three options all in themselves. I'll repeat them again. You do not have to play along with their bad faith behaviors. You can choose to fight them. You can choose to go on with your life. And you can also choose to share those experiences with others who come after you to make it better for them. There are many options, so do not limit them at the directions of others or an insurance company. Stand your ground. It will not only empower you, but others dealing with similar circumstances. The inexperienced car accident victim expectations can be a lot closer to a dream than reality in mind. To limited exposure, expectations that all businesses are created equal and do their best to assist their customers in resolving traffic concerns, especially those you've been paying premiums on for months or years. But is this true? One could ask. Many people today writing complaints to insurance commissioners, looking for a personal injury attorney whom will look out for their best of interest, or the large number of people who have taken to the internet to express their abusive treatment and their opinions. Personally, I believe President Clinton said it best. When asked a question about whether he believes Iran would keep their word on reducing their nuclear program, I'm paraphrasing here, but he said, "Take them at their word, but verify." And from my perspective as an injured person, this is a stance taken through the process of a claim. If someone says something regarding a health condition, value of a claim, or what they can or cannot do, verify. Just like an accountant, it's important to accurately assess the aspects of your personal injury claim and those assisting with resolving this issue. Unfortunately, the saying of strange bedfellows may not be as strange as once seemed. If considering 85 people have access to more wealth than the remaining people in the world, how difficult would it be for 85 people to get together, develop a strategy to hold on to this wealth? Perhaps 30 years of stagnant wages might help. Yes, it is difficult to accomplish much when experiencing pain, suffering, and a lot less money. However, in order to be able to view claim processes from a realistic point of view, legitimate information must flow your way. This is one reason, in my opinion, it is better to learn about the processes of a car accident prior to being in one. The less you know about the direction to go, the greater chances of being led down a path that may end up leaving you feeling taken advantage of, more worn for the wear and tear, and worse off than you can imagine. Yet, with just a little information that can adjust your expectations closer to how things are happening in the real world of auto insurance claims, you become your best advocate, learning basic fundamentals which can help navigate the process better and perhaps receive a settlement positioning at your prior accident levels, or with a strategy of survival in the hard times jungle which you've just been placed in. Remember, policies are typically written by those who benefit from them. This may mean that there may be very little of it or information or actually benefits in it for you. And if lawmakers continue to side with corporate America, who knows what citizens' rights will look like in years to come, from my perspective. Therefore, in order to develop expectations that line up with what is happening in the market today, develop realistic expectations for those involved in a case by understanding what their role is, what you require of them, and make sure to base this upon the professional standards of whatever industry you're looking at, and what they are offering in support of your case. I call this Estra's rule in evaluation. I consider, is what was offered at the onset delivered at the end of your claim? And this to me is very important. Is your health better? Is the value of your claim what they said it would be? Did things go as planned or were there many detours? Overall, at the end of this claim, where are you now? And that's really important. Where are you now? You need to ask yourself that question. Unfortunately, you just can't lay back and let somebody else take care of it. Because if you do, from my perspective, the objectives of others may be placed before your needs and desires, thus taking a back seat to theirs. Once again, you have to be your best advocate. Most self-insured employers are well-funded and desire to be the insurance company for their employers. However, most employees, in my opinion, do not realize it is actually their employer who insures them. When yearly changes are made, most do not recognize they are not improvements in most cases, but reductions in coverage. One of the most important aspects to realize is that without employment, this coverage is what? Terminated. Which, if in a car accident, can be problematic. Your employer can be the administrator of the benefit plans. They can contract it out, or they can have some mix of the two. The important thing to understand is, from my perspective, they are running the show. Can such a corporation not be biased when it's their bottom lines that are being affected? When it comes to their employees or investors, who will they side with? And when vast amounts of resources, power, and skill are placed on the corporate side, how well can an employee fare, you know? How are they going to do against all of that? Much has changed since 1974 in America, but ERISA laws have not kept up with the times, in my opinion. Prospectively speaking, in the 70s, employers and employees seemed to have respect and loyalty to help build each other up. This was not just executives, but extend to the majority of people employed. But something changed. Companies began moving their jobs overseas, leaving many citizens without jobs and without hope of great upward mobility. Front and center stage seemed to be corporate and investor profits at the expense of the average worker. Without commitment to loyalty and fairness, it became a work environment of every person and every company for themselves. How can the rules of the 70s protect the sick and injured in 2014 when the rules have certainly changed? The Department of Labor states the employee retirement employee retirement income security act of 1974, that's known as ERISA, is a federal law that sets minimum standards for most voluntarily established pension and health plans and private industry to provide protection for individuals in these plans. I have to stop for just a minute. They're supposed to be protecting the individuals in the plans. Between 1974 and 2014, something happened. In my opinion, the individuals in these plans are not being protected. Okay, a lot of them are being hurt because the way in which this was supposed to work, in my opinion, isn't really working anymore. I'm going to go on here. ERISA required plans to provide participants with plan information, including important information about plan features and funding. I'm going to stop here. And that's basically when you go to work, you get a job, they give you this benefit package, and it has all the information, a summary plan of those benefits contained. I always say this, remember to look at what? the fine print, because that's really where it's going to get kind of hazy. Including important information about the plan's features and funding, provides fiduciary responsibility for those who manage and control the plan assets. Okay? A lot of times, companies don't say, hey, by the way, we're your, not only your employer, but we're your insurance company. You usually don't get that. So, but they require, these plans do require to establish a grievance and appeals process for participants to get benefits from their plans. I have to just say, I just don't see how they can actually achieve an appeals process when they're both the insurance person, the employer, and the person actually evaluating the appeals process. Ooh. Something's wrong with that picture, right? And it says it gives participants the rights to sue for benefits and breaches fiduciary duty. Yes, but how, like I said before, how many people have $5,000 or $10,000 to actually take their case to court? You're asking people who have no money, who've lost their job, who are sick or injured, to actually say, okay, we're going to go sue this company, which typically has more resources, more funding, and actually has a lot of community behind them because they've actually been paying out in different areas. And so they've got a lot of things going for them where you have most individuals with very few of these things. Speaking of systems, because most long-term disability claims fall under ERISA, which is legislation Congress signed giving over many rights of the injured to corporate greed, in my opinion, even those willing to fork over a lot of money to file lawsuits cannot receive additional awards for having to wait for their benefits, which causes a great deal of grief for many people. The law only allows disabled individuals, should they be able to recover benefits in court, the exact amount that should have been paid out, because there is not a penalty for suffering that they cause the injured. What kind of Congress would sign this type of legislation? Perhaps one that aligns too well with lobbyists. Stay informed on Congress members in your state and check out their voting record. Your future is weighted on their actions. In summary, if anyone tells you this process is easy and fair, ask them how they came up with the answer. In my opinion, people are penalized because of becoming injured, treated as second-class situations in some cases, without the resources and skills to navigate a system that is set up from the start, not necessarily to look out for their best of interests. Therefore, be your best advocate, then realize when on an unequal playing field, outcomes are not always. Keep your chin up, continue to speak out against unfair long-term disability practices, and most importantly, make sure to help in creating changes that give the injured and sick a fair chance in receiving benefits they have earned and paid premiums on. Just imagine, it's a sunny day. Life seems good, no complaints at the moment, yet in an instant, life changes. One thinks, I'm so glad I signed that long-term disability policy because it looks like I'm going to have to use it now. But most insured learn rather quickly, unfortunately, that this is easier to pay a premium than to receive a benefit check. So the financial worries begin because most employees are only a single paycheck away from poverty, and it is easy to stay so close when wages stagnate for 30 years. It's hard to say when there's little to put away for a rainy day. So an insured lives in fear about how they're going to make it, because instead of being able to depend on their abilities, they're in the hands of an insurance company or employer. Will they be willing to pay? How long will they be willing to pay? In my opinion, it depends on how they view your claim and possibly you personally. Therefore, some injured develop the slave mentality because they know their financial lives cannot at this time be built by their own abilities, which means their personal freedoms are in jeopardy. Because of being in a precarious situation, most do just about anything to please their insurance company or employer. due to fearing getting on the wrong side of them. Most know they are at a disadvantage, and perhaps they can hear the hammer coming down, which may shatter their meager way of life, which after losing 40% of your income is no picnic. From my point of view, this is no way to live. Decide you are the same person before the injury or sickness. Demand the same respect and dignity. Continue to survive the very best way you can, and realize a slave mentality will not improve your situation. It will not move you forward, but provide ammunition to keep you in a place that limits your ability to flourish. Continue to be creative and find ways not only to survive, but to thrive while dealing with difficult circumstances. Yes, it is possible. From my point of view, the possibilities of receiving disability benefits is too uncertain. Until long-term disability benefits are no longer kept from sick and injured people who have documented their condition, been qualified by the Social Security definition of disability, which is more strict for their eligibility, I would err on the side of being cautious, meaning don't wait until you need those benefits to protect your future. Start saving money that you control. Because in my opinion, there are no guarantees in this equation if corporations receiving your premiums will give you your benefits. It's a situation of hope for the best and definitely prepare for delays, denials, or the elimination of a disability benefit claim. Long-term insurance companies or employers allowed to keep money from people needing these benefits to live on is financial abuse, in my opinion. Knowingly and willingly refusing to pay benefits to the injured means additional suffering for not only the individual, but in many circumstances, their family as well. In my opinion, it's a bad situation and it makes it worse. The sick and injured are being penalized because of unforeseen circumstances, while the bottom lines of insurers bloom. Where is the justice? Speaking of justice, how cruel can it be to intimidate the sick and injured by scaring them with the term fraud against them? Most have no money to defend themselves. They rely on fairness and honesty of the system. They have done what has been requested by insurers, and yet many still are denied. Prospectively speaking, much of what has been requested is not necessarily with the goal of making a determination about a claim. Many times, again, it's to be used to eliminate one. And who made these corporations king? Perhaps our U.S. Congress. Legislation passed does not typically help the injured or sick. The great lobbyists of the country have done this sector a major injustice, in my opinion. When money becomes the end game, and honesty, integrity, along with respect of one another goes by the wayside, then, from my perspective, we all lose. Because what this breeds is a distrust. And this is something that is difficult to get back, can undermine the functioning of an entire system. Is it okay to pay disability benefits when it fits a corporate model design to protect only its investors' interests? It might seem okay now, but a future where money concerns the people, from my point of view, would not bring everlasting progress to the country whose moral fiber might be disintegrating. In summary, always be your best advocate. Review the record of the insurance company or employer before signing up for their policies. The more you know about them, the better you may be able to gauge whether they actually will pay out disability benefits when the sick and injured desperately need them. Let's meet back here next Saturday, same time, 1:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, same day, Saturdays. No matter what you are going through, keep your head up and never give up. The information contained on Talking About You with Estra is not all-inclusive in assisting individuals in discerning information related to a car accident. Individuals seeking specifics on their case should seek professional assistance. The First Amendment of free speech has allowed Estra's radio show, TV, to state her opinion in addition to her guests and callers, which reflect life experiences. Talking About You with Esther or Esther's TV is in no way liable for misuse of the material. For more information, contact Sunlight Publishing, P.O. Box 69082, Seattle, Washington 98168. Thank you.